You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title is Imperishable Hope. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
I believed in God when I was a child, and when I was a teenager, I went to church. But then World War II came, and after the war, I quit going to church. And ever since that time, I've had a very, very hard time believing in God. These words of doubt and confusion were expressed recently by a retired factory worker as he sat on the edge of his hospital bed in Riga, Latvia. This man not only survived the agony and the tears and the bloodshed of the Second World War, but he also survived the cruel deportation later carried out by the Soviet communists in the Baltic states and in many other parts of Eastern Europe. Families were torn apart and men and women and children starved by the thousands in the communist concentration camps of northern Siberia. As I spoke with this man who had survived this 20th century horror, he expressed his dismay with life. He explained his absolute disillusion with Western nations such as the United States and Canada. These powerful countries, they could have helped save millions of lives. When the people who were deported by the communists, when they most needed help than the Western nations, they frequently turned their backs. And something else may also come as a surprise. This beleaguered man was also down on the Christian church. He described how during the early days of June 1948, the Soviet communists brought hundreds of railroad cars, dirty cattle cars, into Latvia. And then on a single night, Soviet soldiers, accompanied by members of the KGB, went from house to house and from farm to farm. And at gunpoint, they rounded up and deported defenseless civilians, 20,000 people in one night. These helpless victims were then sent to the cold and cruel regions of remote Siberia. There they suffered, and there they died by the thousands. Now, if we are surprised that these survivors have such a bitter memory of the West, including the United States, then let us first remember that their cruel deportation to Siberia did not take place during the war. These heinous acts occurred 3 years after World War II was finished. And although many political leaders, including top U.S. politicians, knew that this horrible crime against humanity had taken place, they did not try to stop it, nor even to discourage it. If you or I today, along with our families, were to suffer a similar fate, and if we were going to be sold out by the politicians, and if we lost everything we had, and if we were deported and enslaved, and if all of this took place while a so-called Christian nation, along with so-called Christian leaders, helped our enemies and made this ugly cruelty possible, then you and I might also understand why some Europeans today have a very difficult time believing in God and the Christian faith, and why some have a very difficult time seeing the United States and Canada as righteous Christian nations. Let us then reject all attitudes of self-righteousness, even as a nation, and with a repentant heart heed the warning of God spoken through the prophet Obadiah, who said, "For the day of the Lord draws near unto all nations, and as you have done, it will be done unto you. Your dealings will return on your own head." Now, of course, there is no way that you and I can change the past. However, when confronted by people who openly confess that they have a hard time believing in God, because of their tragic experiences, and because evil seems so often to triumph in this life, and because sometimes even so-called Christians are involved, then we must be very, very honest. This, then, is our dilemma. For those thousands who have lost all hope, both in humanity and even the existence of a gracious and caring divinity, is there anything, yes, is there anything, my friend, anything that we can say to them? Of course there is. But before we spout our pious platitudes, let us with repentant hearts remember that all too often our response to those who have suffered frequently ends up being little more than a simplistic, trite, and useless expression, such as, "Oh, just hang in there and you'll eventually feel better." And, may I say also, when you have had a heavy and a sad heart, haven't you also had someone, maybe even a friend, say quite insincerely and flippantly to you, "Oh, you will get over it. Just takes a bit of time, that's all." No, my friend, no discouraged soul can be strengthened, and no hopeless heart can be healed by simplistic expressions of men, no matter how catchy or pious these slogans may sound. The Word of God. Yes, the Word of God, the living Word and the eternal Word, this is the only help available to broken hearts. God's almighty promises are the only true and reliable help. The psalmist, whose heart had also been healed by God's Word, confessed, "This, yes, this is my comfort in my affliction, that thy Word has revived me." And so then, as you and I listen to the sincere confession of the burdened and the brokenhearted, we must guard against offering quick and often simplistic human solutions. Instead, may our gentle response always be initiated by the Holy Spirit of God. Then, as we warmly testify to the forgiveness of God in Christ, and as we witness to God's special care and concern for the discouraged and the downtrodden, then, yes, then we will see weary hearts regain strength and distressed souls revived. And even though these people may have lost all their worldly possessions, with new spiritual energy received from the grace of God in Christ, these souls will then be enabled with the psalmist to say, "The Lord is good unto all men, and his mercies are over all his works. The Lord sustains all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, and to all who call upon him in truth." Yes, my friend, the help and the hope that God gives in his Word is not occasional, and it is definitely not sporadic. Already many centuries ago, as he foresaw the captivity of his own people, the prophet Isaiah explains the help and the hope that God offers even to you and me today. "God gives strength to the weary," Isaiah says, "and to him who lacks might, to him the Lord increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord, they will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and never become weary." And so then, my friend, let's stop. And let's stop and think about it. Think about all of it. Let's think about how you and I also sometimes become weary with life. Yes, you and I also become weary. And let's remember people like the discouraged man in Latvia sitting at the edge of his hospital bed. This man has lived his entire life under communism, and his health has been destroyed, and now he has nothing, absolutely nothing. This man is even down on the Christian faith. And in a human sense, this man has certainly every right to feel the way that he does. But this man, plus everyone else in the world, including you and me, must never evaluate God by the self-serving actions of many others who claim to know God. In fact, if this discouraged man, and also if we, you and I, if we want to truly evaluate God, then we must look at what God has done and not what some others have done in his name. And when you and I plan in any way whatsoever to evaluate God, then we must look at the crucifixion cross. This is the only way. Yes, it is only in the cross that you and I, as mortal men, can even begin to comprehend the love and the mercy of our gracious God. Getting to know God and his grace is not achieved by human ability. In every generation, including our own, there are those who attempt the impossible. They try to know God outside of Christ crucified. And oh, how vain and even arrogant this is. In his holy word, God explains to us that we can know him only when we, by faith, understand the reason for and the meaning of the bloody crucifixion of his own son Jesus. In his letter to the Corinthian Christians, the Apostle Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, this word is the power of God. For it is written, God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man, the Bible asks, and where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And since the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed the Bible declares, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we, yes, we preach Jesus Christ crucified. For the Jews this is a stumbling block, and to Gentiles this is foolishness. But unto those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because, you see, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. These are the words from the Scriptures. And so then, based on the solid teachings of the Holy Scriptures, rather than waste our time in worry, or rather than squander our time in speculating about God, let us instead, with a repentant heart and a joy-filled soul, say with the psalmist, Blessed be the Lord, yes, blessed be the Lord God, who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation. For God, the Bible says, God is unto us a God of deliverance. You see, God delivers us from worry during the day, and God delivers us from endless anxiety during the night. God delivers us from the pain of illness and from the fear of death. In Christ, God delivers us from the curse of sin, and He rescues us from the fires of everlasting hell. God delivers us from the fleshly powers that would detract us and the satanic spiritual powers that would destroy us. Oh, indeed, it is true. Yes, my friend, it is true, as the psalmist declares, God is unto us a God of deliverance. And so if you feel discouraged today, and if you are even now wondering whether life is worth living, then stop for a moment and think, my friend. Open your eyes of faith and look at the big picture. Don't just dwell on yourself and your problems all the time. Take a good look at the grace of God, for even though you are a sinner, God still loves you. And He does this through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you are discouraged, and if you feel like one of the survivors of World War II, one who survived the bloody war only to be done in a second time by the ruling godless communists, then let me strongly suggest one thing to you. Don't judge the value of all of life simply because your days are difficult, or even that they are tear-filled and impossible. If you want to be truly prepared to face every day, and if you are open to the power of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, then look again. Yes, look again at that love that the Heavenly Father has for you. In spite of your sin, God loves you, and in spite of your rebellion against Him, God has sent His only Son to suffer the punishment for your sin. And in spite of the fact that your life has not been what God has expected of you, He is still holding before your eyes His loving offer of grace and salvation. By His Spirit, and in the midst of your anguish and agony, your loving Heavenly Father has already prepared for you a wonderful place in heaven. And so strongly does your Heavenly Father want you to be in eternity with Him, that He, yes, that God desires you to be able to echo the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, The problems that we face at the present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall soon be ours. This great and glorious heavenly hope was also understood by the Apostle John when he with great excitement wrote, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. But we do know this, yes, we do know this, that when Jesus Christ appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And so, my friend, no matter how discouraged you may be at this hour, you can still have hope. Man may disappoint you, and even the actions of some so-called Christians may disillusion you. But the God of grace and the Father of all mercy will never, ever let you down. Lift up your head then. Yes, lift up your head and rejoice. Rejoice even in your suffering. In spite of your failures, the God of grace loves you. He has sent His only Son to save you. Oh, my friend, believe in God and believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in His crucified and resurrected Son. Yes, believe in the atoning power of the blessed Redeemer, and you shall be saved. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.